Oh Lord God, this is your holy word. We are your servants. Give us understanding that we might know your testimonies. You prayed, oh Lord God, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use your word this hour to set us apart for your service and your glory. Bless the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, written word, O Lord. Give us that love for you that responds in obedience to your word. Let us not be forgetful listeners, but active workers. Let us not be deceivers of ourselves, Lord, merely hearing, but obedient men and women under the submission of your word. Let us not be led by deceiving spirits and deceiving emotions, O Lord God, but let us be led instead by the clearly holy, inerrant, written word of God. The secret things belong to the Lord. The things revealed belong to man in all his generations. Speak to us this hour from those things which you have revealed to us through your written word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The next covenant vow which we will look at has to do with the wife. The husband vows to be the spiritual leader of the home. The wife vows to spiritually submit. Ladies, the time for you to decide to submit to the leadership of your husband is not the third year of marriage. It is in the courtship period, isn't it? That is the time. If you did not want to follow him, you should not have married him. In the world, respect is earned. In the world, leadership is earned. In the Christian family, it is given as a result of a vow. You have taxes in this country, don't you? Don't you have a gasoline tax? So you fill up your gas and it's time to pay the bill. You say, I'm sorry, 20%, 30%, 40% of this bill is the gasoline tax. I'm unhappy with the road in front of my house. I will not pay the gasoline tax because you haven't earned it. Instead of giving you 6,000 shillings, here is 4,000 shillings. Can you do that? No. You're a citizen of a country, you pay your taxes, don't you? That is not an earned duty. Jesus Christ simply taught it, didn't he? God the Holy Spirit, again in Romans, teaches it. We as Christian gentlemen, as Christian businessmen, we pay our taxes, don't we? That's our duty. Whether the government earns it or not, don't we? I'm not saying the government of Kenya doesn't earn it. I'm simply using it as an illustration that we don't sit down and decide whether to do it or not. It is a duty required of a good citizen, isn't it? Wives, your husband doesn't earn your submission or respect. It is given. When I was talking about the husband's spiritual leadership of the wife, did I speak at all to the husbands about you earning that, ladies? No. In the world, love is earned. In the church, it is simply given. I exhorted the husbands to love you and lead you spiritually and care for you as his responsibility, irrespective of your behavior. In the same way, a wife submits to her husband as her covenant vow to God. It does not need to be earned. If it needed to be earned, it would never have to be given, would it? The authority of the husband as head of the home is central in the teaching of God's covenant vows. A husband's need for his wife to submit to his leadership is created by God. It is a lasting and legitimate need for which there is no moral outfit. Men, your wife needs you to lead her spiritually. But ladies, your husband needs you to follow him, to give him respect, to submit to his leadership. Not because of society, not because of evolutionary laws, not because of testosterone, not because of culture, not because. It is how he was created by God. It is a role. Notice in Ephesians 5, 22 through 6. Let's turn in our Bible, shall we? Ephesians 5. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 5. And we're going to do a quick study on the authority of the husband as head of the home. Now, whenever I talk about this subject, ladies always want me to begin with Ephesians 5:21. Be subject one to another. Now that is talking about our position in the body of Christ, not our roles in life. So I'm going to take you back to Ephesians 5:21, be subject one to another. That's talking about learning, growing, spiritually maturing as equals in the body of Christ. Then the Bible goes on to talk about roles. And in Ephesians 5:22, wives be what? Subject. In Ephesians 5:24, but as the church is what? Subject to Christ. So the wives ought to be to their husbands. Subject. And in Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see to it that she respect. The Greek word there is phobio. It means a fearful or reverent respect. So the wives look at that verse and say, well, yeah, it says be subject. But hey, look, verse 21, we're supposed to be subject to each other. We're equals. I say, okay, as long as you're consistent. Let's go to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey or be subject to your parents. Now, wives, does that mean your children are equal to you since we're subject to one another? Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother. Be subject to your father and mother. Okay? But yet they're going to be equal to you, right? You have to honor them, they're going to honor you, you're all going to be equal, right? How about verse 5, slaves or employees or household, be obedient to those who are your masters. So if you're going to say Ephesians 5:21 means you do not have to obey your husband because we're all equals, that also means your children don't have to obey you, nor does your household. Are you willing to say that? Are you? If you are not, then the same exposition of children obeying, yet we are subject to one another, and household obeying, yet we are subject to one another, needs to be used in wives obeying, yet we are subject to one another. Wives are to be subject to their husbands. Ephesians 5:22-6:9 deals with roles in both the physical and the spiritual world. It deals with the husband's authority over the wife, the husband and wife's authority over the children, the husband's and wife's authority over all domestic and household in the home, and as Christians, our authority over the demonic kingdom. It deals with authority roles. And it's very important that we accept that. subjection, hupotasso, here in the Greek, is a military term. It deals with things ranking under other things. The same word is in Romans 13:1, that every person be in subject to the governing authorities. Ephesians 5:22, wives be subject to your husband. It is the same Greek word there. To listen, to be subordinate to rank under, to be in subjection. Titus 3:1, remind them to be subject to their rulers, to their authorities, to be obedient. It is the same Greek word. Whether it is man in his relationship with God, whether it is the church in relationship with Christ, whether it is the wife in relationship to her husband, whether it is the children in relationship with mommy, whether it is domestic help in relationship to the husband and wife, it is the same Greek word we are to be subject to. Now many, I've heard this statement also. Well, the Bible says we have to be subject to our husbands, but we don't have to obey them. And they'll say, see, it doesn't say obey. Okay. You look at Ephesians 5:22 through 33, it does not say obey, does it? But you can't have subjection without obedience, can you? I place myself in subjection to the traffic laws, I just don't obey them. Does that make sense? That's nonsensical, isn't it? A military soldier says, I place myself in subjection to my military officers, I just don't obey them. Does that make sense? No, that doesn't make sense. You say, I place myself in subjection to the tax laws, I just don't obey them. Does that make sense? I live in subjection to my husband's authority. I just don't have to obey him. Does that make sense? It simply doesn't. Does it? Besides that, turn with me to 1 Peter 3. Now, ladies, last hour I was hearing lots of amens from the ladies. Where did my chorus go? The amens have gotten deeper and deeper. The different elbow. Before it was the right elbow. Now it's the left elbow. The right elbow of the wife before. Now it's the left elbow of the husband coming back. What is 1 Peter 3, 5, and 6? Ladies, you all liked 1 Peter 7, didn't you? 1 Peter 3, 5, and 6 is spoken by the same God, the Holy Spirit. Just as Sarah did what? Obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children, her disciples. You have conformed to God's standard. If you do what is right, obey your husband without being frightened by any fear.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you. What does verse 5 say? For in this way, in former times, holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their husbands. Okay, subjection. And in verse 6, to what does God link subjection, obedience? To make an argument that you are in subjection to something, someone, or some standard, but you do not have to obey that person, that thing, or that standard, is nonsensical. It's like saying, of course I read the Bible every day, I just don't open it. That's nonsensical. Of course I go to work every day, I just don't leave my home. It's nonsensical. Of course I'm living in subjection to my husband, I simply don't obey him. It's nonsensical. Now we're fighting a trend in this, and the trend is that of self-ownership. Ladies, you have to understand that the secular Western decadent world, which teaches you you don't have to submit to your husband, that is not an isolated teaching. There are other teachings that go with that, aren't there? For instance, that being a lesbian or a homosexual is perfectly acceptable. That goes with that, doesn't it? And that sexual promiscuity is acceptable. That goes with that. And that children don't have to obey their parents. That goes with that. And that children should experiment with drugs and alcohol. That teaching goes with that. And that children can be rebellious, and when they leave home, they can involve themselves in all sorts of degradation, and they should make their own decisions concerning whether there's a God or not, or whether there's a church or not, or whether the Bible is the Word of God. That goes with that also, isn't it? You cannot just simply select out of that total worldview not obeying your husband and being submitted to him and be well and think you can keep the other things intact in your home, can you? It's a package deal. We used to tell this to our children. When they told them they couldn't watch a certain movie or go to a certain party, or they had to study instead of playing, or they had responsibilities in the home, or all the other things that good Christian fathers train their children in. And they would say, yes, Daddy, but, you know, why can't we do these things? Other children get to do them. And I would say to them, it is a package deal. When you come home from school, who is there to greet you? Mommy. She is not out at the bar or at the political meeting, right? She's there. And when Daddy comes home to work, he drives past the bars and the gambling halls and the strip joints and the prostitutes, and he comes home, doesn't he? Most children want to live disobedient lives but have a good Christian stable home to come home to, with Mommy and Daddy being loving and stable, don't they? And I would tell them, it's a package deal. Mommy behaves herself, Daddy behaves himself, and children behave themselves. That makes a good home, doesn't it? And ladies, it's a package deal. It's a package, and we don't get to select out one item, submission to the husband, and expect to have all the other things that make up a good, stable Christian home, but I just won't obey that one thing. We obey all of the Word of God, don't we? Jesus Christ said in Luke 9:23, that we take up, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Every day we die to Christ. If you are dead, how much of your body is alive? None. That's right. It's a package deal. You are either all dead or still alive. Mr. Raj, you want to be lying in the hospital bed, somebody needs your liver. And they are testing you. Well, is he dead? Well, when we prick his hand with a pin, it wiggles. Well, that's just his hand. Let's go ahead and take his liver. The rest of his body's dead. You want them to take your liver? No, because you're still alive. You're either all dead or all alive. You're either all submitted to the Word of God, receiving all of the benefits of the Word of God, or you're not in the area of the family. And so we die to self. And we die to the concept of self-ownership. It is my body. It is my life. I get to decide these issues. No, ladies, that's not true. It's not your body. You don't get to decide the length of your hair. You don't get to decide your weight. You don't get to decide whether or not to kill the baby that's growing inside of you. You don't get to decide those things. It's not your body. You don't get to decide whether you have your husband has a sexually fulfilling life. It is not your body. It's not. That's a new thought for many ladies in this age. But the same culture that tells you this is your body, you get to decide whether you kill that baby or not. You get to decide what you look like. You get to make the decisions about your hair. You get to make all these decisions. That's your body. You need to keep your body healthy. That's a package teaching comes with that. What else comes with that is divorce, broken marriages, rebellious children, homosexuality, promiscuity. It all comes together, isn't it? The same Anglican priest who teaches you that you don't have to obey your husband teaches your son he can be a homosexual. Isn't that true? We reject it all. The same liberal Methodist or Lutheran priest who tells you that you don't have to obey your husband tells your husband the church will bless his divorce and bless his second marriage. Doesn't it? We don't pick and choose what we take from the Word of God. We submit ourselves to all of it. The Word of God sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It makes us different. Gentlemen, when you go out into the parking lot and a Muslim man sees how you treat your wife and your children as they enter the car, it should be different, shouldn't it? When you go into the market and a Muslim man sees how you treat your wife and children, it should be different, isn't it? Here's the Muslim man, when he walks through the door and his wife has all the baggage, what does the door do? It slams up against her, doesn't it? It should be different with you. He gets in the car, his wife puts all the baggage in the car, she opens her own door. It should be different for you, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it? We're not pagans. We're Christian gentlemen. But ladies, it's the same thing for you. When that secular businesswoman, educator, career woman sees you and your relationship with your husband, it should be different, shouldn't it? You're not secular. You're not pagan. You are a Christian lady. Christian ladies married to Christian gentlemen raising Christian children who will grow up to be Christian gentlemen and ladies, right? They should see something different. They should see some submission. You don't own your bodies. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 and 4. Shall we turn there? When someone, a pastor, a teacher, anyone makes a statement as strongly as I just have, a question should come into your mind. Do you know what that question is? Chapter verse, Pastor. Acts 17:11 says, "Now these Jews were more noble of those of Thessalonica, for they studied the Scriptures every day to see if these things were really so." So if Paul was honored by the fact that his congregation were not yes men, but they wanted to see from the Word of God whether he was telling the truth, it certainly should not threaten me, should it? And if you are ever under the teaching of a pastor or leader, and when you ask for a Bible verse to go with the teaching, if that makes him angry, that's a danger sign, isn't it, Brother Raj? I can say that because Brother Wash can quote verses just like that. And if he's teaching you something and you want to know where it's in the Bible, Brother Raj is honored to take you to the Bible, not offended. Yeah, thank you. Praise God. And remember, I'm going away. Your pastors are staying here. So if anything I say contradicts anything your pastor says, he's right, I'm wrong. Okay? Then we could be in agreement. I'm a guest here. I'm a guest. Your pastors and your elders are committed to your long-term spiritual well-being. God commands you to submit to them. You listen to my teaching. And then you go to the scriptures to see if these things are so. I'm just a traveling teacher. So you listen to my teaching. You submit to the leadership of your pastors and elders. Hebrews. Then you say, well, Brother John, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them as those who would give an account. Have them do so with joy and not with regrets, for that will be hurtful to you. And if you are in a business meeting and you are making life difficult for your pastors, that's to your hurt. Hebrews 13:17. Right. 1 Corinthians 7:3-4. That was free. No extra charge, right, Brother Raj? No extra charge for those extra teachings there. 1 Corinthians 7:3-4. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife.
Amen.
If you're all in amens, all the ladies are going. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen. And likewise, the wife to her husband.
Amen.
Well, yeah. No, the wives are beginning to scratch their head. I knew there was a catch. The wife does not have authority over her own body.
Yes.
But her husband does. The husband does not have authority over his own body, but his wife does. I weigh what I weigh because Eleanor is satisfied with that. I bathe regularly because it's not my body, it's hers, and she has to sleep next to it, doesn't she? Isn't that right? I used to have a mustache. Eleanor mentioned to me that when I kiss her, she's always getting hairs. So I took my mustache off and never grew it back. Huh? Isn't that right? Some wives like that. I have a friend who has a beard. His wife loves the beard. Huh? I am a little more expressive with my wife, so she was always getting red marks on her body, so I shaved my beard off. It's not my body, right? I asked her about it. Huh? You should not be so heavy that you're uncomfortable for your wife. You should not be so out of shape that you can't do things with your wife. It's not your body, right? But ladies, it's not your body either. It's not your body. It belongs first to whom? Therefore, can men have long hair? Can men have long hair? Are we Sikhs or are we Christian gentlemen? That's right. In 1 Corinthians 11, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son was involved in creation, wasn't He? God the Father was involved in creation, wasn't He? And in Genesis 1, what was moving over the face of the waters? God the Holy Spirit was involved in creation, wasn't He? And God the Holy Spirit, who is involved in creation, in the creation of nature, says in 1 Corinthians 11:14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is what? It's dishonoring, isn't it? And that's how we know Jesus did not have long hair, did He? Would God the Son do something offensive to God the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? No. Is long hair on men offensive to God the Holy Spirit? Yes. Therefore, will God the Son have long hair? No. You say God the Son was a Nazarite. No, God the Son did not take the Nazarite vow. God the Son was a Nazarene. Nazareth is a judicial district of Israel under the Roman rule. When the Nazarite vow was spoken of in the Old Testament, Israel did not exist. God the Son was not a Nazarite. My name is Mayan, isn't it? John Mayan. Am I a Messiah? Well, it sounds similar, doesn't it? Mayan, Messiah, doesn't it? But it's two different words, aren't they? Nazarite is a Hebrew word. Nazarene is a military district. It's two different words. They're different. Jesus Christ was not a Nazarite. He never took the Nazarite vow. We know this for a number of reasons. One of the things is that the things that Jesus ate and the things that Jesus did all violated the Nazarite vow, among other things. So we won't get into that. If you have problems with that, I'll be glad to give you a Bible study on it. Jesus did not have long hair. We do not have a long hair. Our body doesn't belong to us. Men, we don't get to decide if we're going to wear our hair long enough, long or not. Who gets to decide? The Word of God. God the Holy Spirit does, doesn't He? He teaches us. Our body is not our own. First, it belongs to God. Our body is not our own. Secondly, it belongs to our wife. But ladies, the same is true for you. Your body is not your own. Who decides how long your hair is? Who decides that? God, the Holy Spirit, decides that for you too. Nature teaches that there are men and women, doesn't it? Christian women look like Christian ladies. Their hair, their dress, their appearance is feminine, right? Christian men look like Christian gentlemen. Their hair, their appearance is masculine. If you are sitting in a car and all I can see is the back of your head, that's all I can see. If you are a Christian, I know who's the woman and who's the man. Not by driving, but by appearance, don't I? Don't I? If I saw Brother Raj from the back, or I saw one of the pastors from the back, I would immediately know they were men, wouldn't I? And it should be the same for the ladies. Lady says, well, it's more trouble to have long hair. Well, it's more trouble for your husband to come home, isn't it? We equally fulfill. It's more trouble for your husband to study the Bible, isn't it? It is work. It's not fun. Well, I tell my son, he'd be talking about job interviews, and I would say, the reason the word work and the word fun share none of the same consonants and none of the same vowels is they have nothing in common. Work is work, fun is fun. And there is a work aspect to the discipleship, there is a work aspect to marriage, there is a work aspect to ministry. We do it because it is the right thing to do. We fulfill our covenant vows. Ladies, your body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to God, Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul which sins shall die. God owns us. Then you became Satan's by enslavement. 2 Timothy 2:26. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil in whom they have been taken captive to do his will. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you all formerly walked according to the course of the power of this air, the prince of the power of the air who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We are all gods. We all sinned. We all died. We all came into the kingdom of darkness. We all were slaves of Satan. Then by the blood of Christ, you were set free. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not of your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with the body. God redeemed your body back, didn't He? He took it unto himself. It now belongs to God. It is not your body. It is God's body, bought by the blood of Christ. When you became a Christian, you did not become a free agent. You were a slave to Satan, right? Jesus Christ bought you at the slave market, didn't He? With His blood. And then you became His slave, not a free agent. We do not make Christ Lord over our life. The Lordship of Christ is part of His immutable, unchanging, eternal, self-existent attribute. We do not make Christ Lord. He is Lord. What we do is decide to cease being a rebellious slave and we submit to His Lordship. That's what we decide. But we are His servants. Thus, a Christian has no claim of self-ownership. 1 Corinthians 3:23. You belong to Christ. We are Christ. We belong to Him. Therefore, wives, your body's not your own. You submit to your husband's spiritual leadership. It is not your own. The submission of the wife to her husband in the face of an unhappy marriage is the will of God. You are not free from your husband simply because you are unhappy. You give your husband the submission and obedience which a Christian wife gives because you are a Christian wife. It is something given. Hopefully, gentlemen, we will deserve it, but nevertheless, it is given. It is given. We are not freed from our submission to our husband as a result of salvation. Christian wives are more submissive to their husband than non-Christians. We have clear roles of man, woman, husband, wife, parent, child, home, domestic help in the Word of God. And we are to be submissive to their roles. And wives, you are clearly called by God to be submissive to your husbands in every area. Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, just as Christ also is head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. In everything. That is your role. So, the cult of self-ownership should be expunged from the Spirit-filled Christian family. We don't think in those terms. We don't think in those terms. So a wife, and we'll talk about this later as we look at some of the other covenants, a wife should be concerned with how her husband feels about her body, her appearance, her life. That's important to her. First, how her God feels, and then second, how her husband feels. What's our application here in closing? Ladies, if you decide you are not responsible for this covenant, to submit to your husband's leadership, to give your body over from self-ownership, first to God and then to your husband, who do you want to take your place? You're sitting in the car, and you say, you know, sweetheart, that's just not for me. I'm a 21st century Kenyan woman. I'm not going to submit to your leadership. Then your husband says, fine, dear, just pick out one of the sisters here. Are you happy? He says to you, that's all right, sweetheart. You know, I've tried talking to you and leading you spiritually and counseling you, and I know you've gone a lot at work, and now you want to, you know, take your doctorate in Edinburgh and be gone for a couple of years to do that, and you have these job opportunities, and you have your career and your studies. That's all right, sweetheart, because Sister Sarah at church, you know, she's a widow, and she really needs leadership and care and nurturing, so I've been leading her spiritually. And she asks me questions, and we take walks, and she likes me to hold her hand when we pray, and come over to the house. And are you happy, ladies? No. You don't want to submit to your husband spiritually, but you don't want anyone else to either, do you? But God created your husband to be a leader. and He created you to be the helpmate. We need to fulfill these covenant roles. You say, well, you know, do you think your parents spent all that money educating you and sending you to college and making you into a 21st century sophisticated, educated, articulate woman just to stay at home and cook and raise children and be a wife? By God's grace, you had Christian parents who did exactly that. By God's grace. I couldn't think of a better helpmate, a better mother for my children than a highly educated, articulate, sophisticated, godly Christian woman who has the educational and mental and social skills to accurately study the Word of God, support me in my ministry, teach and train and nurture my children, and be my helpmate throughout life. And by God's grace, we did the same thing for our children, for our daughters. We raised them as highly educated, articulate, college-educated women who are now living with husbands, being their helpmate, maintaining their home, raising their children. By God's grace, you had Christian parents who rejoiced in your education and your development so that you could fulfill to the highest degree possible your covenant with God. By grace, you did. And unfortunately, many of your parents and many of you would feel yourself cheated out of your money if your children obeyed the Bible. You feel yourself cheated and you feel your daughters cheated. We need to return to the plumb line of the Word of God for our worldview, don't we? We certainly do. Who do you want to model these responsibilities for your husband? You call your husband and say, you know, you'll have to get something out of the freezer. Just stick it in the microwave. I'm working late again tonight. Oh, don't worry, dear. Sister Sarah, didn't I tell you? She comes over. You know, she doesn't work. She's there waiting for me in the house. I gave her a house key. She's waiting for me when you arrive. She takes my slippers off. She likes to learn from the Bible from me. And she just sits there and she hangs on my every word and fixes my favorite meals and just sits at my feet. Are you happy? No! But what you want to say to your husband, ha, 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 too bad! If you're a pagan, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Hindu, if you're a secularist, you would get rid of me. But you're a Christian. You can't. You're stubbornly. Too bad. Is that what you want to say? Is that the response of a mature, godly Christian woman? Too bad you're stuck with me. No, it's not, is it? Oh, Lord God, this is your holy word. Use it to sanctify us in truth, for your word is truth. Set us apart for your service and your glory. Set the sisters apart who are here this hour. Free them from the deception of self-ownership, O Lord God. Help them to see clearly their roles in the high calling of the Christian wife and mother. Grant them the faith of Sarah that they might submit to their husbands, calling him Lord, without being terrorized by any fear. Send them to your holy word. Make your Holy Spirit comforter for them. Let them not keep their body unto themselves, but in their appearance and in their actions, first to you, and then second to their husbands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, you're dismissed.